Rob Harrison, who's going to be speaking tonight on the subject Modern Ethics and Bible Teaching. And he's asked that to introduce the subject that we read together, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20, and I'm going to be reading from the ESV. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do any work. You shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honour your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour. You shall not covet your neighbour's house. You shall not covet your neighbour's wife, or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbour's. Now when all the people saw the thunder, and the flashes of lightning, and the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled, and they stood far off, and said to Moses, You speak to us, and we will listen, but do not let God speak to us, lest we die. Moses said to the people, Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin. The people stood far off, while Moses drew near to the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the people of Israel, You have seen for yourselves that I have talked with you from heaven. You shall not make gods of silver to be with me, nor shall you make for yourselves gods of gold. An altar of earth you shall make for me, and sacrifice on it your burnt offerings and your peace offerings, your sheep and your oxen. In every place where I cause my name to be remembered, I will come to you and bless you. If you make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stones. For if you wield your tool on it, you profane it. And you shall not go up by steps to my altar, that your nakedness be not exposed on it.
Well, first of all, I think I owe you an apology, Andrew. It didn't take very long to log in at all, so didn't have to make that awkward situation. Secondly, I'll level with you guys. I'm not a scholar in any sense of the word in ethics, morals, or the English law. It's just not what I'm good at. It's not what I do as an engineer, but what I do have is an interest in these things, because it's very relevant to our today's life. It's relevant to the people you employ and the people you work with, that you treat them correctly in order to have a good working environment and not get fired or sued. I have a vested interest in it, and also we see it regularly in the news, don't we? It's quite regularly in the news that these things have happened. So you pick up bits and bobs. So you're not going to see anything profound tonight. I'm here to do with modern ethics and modern thinking. You're not going to see anything you haven't heard before, anything like that, in terms of the way we see things. But it's my take on what I know, so please bear with me. So the first question is, what is an ethic? That's a when I think Mick or Martin rang me and said, what's your title? I thought, this sounds good. Said it and thought, I have no idea what that means. Sounded good though, didn't it? Good old Google, saved the day. A moral principle that governs a person's behaviour or the conducting of an activity. Which is really good if you know what the word moral means. So the next question is, what is a moral? Being concerned with the principles of right and wrong behaviour. So tonight we are looking at the modern principles of right and wrong that direct our behaviours or behaviour. So that makes a little bit more sense to me. I don't know if it makes any more sense to you. So the idea is we're looking tonight at what society, what humans think is right and wrong, and that's how we govern our behaviours. And is it right for me to do X? Is it right for me to do Y? And that comes from within. It's our natural scripts within us. And there that script comes from is the people we hang out with and socialise with. So to be completely level with you, I have hypothesis tonight. A hypothesis is a theory that needs to be tested. I think that's a good definition of it. So my hypothesis is that modern ethics are borrowed from the Bible. That's my hypothesis. We've read Exodus chapter 20. I'm sure you're already beginning to think along the same sort of lines as me, that a lot of the things that we class as good behaviours are actually just borrowed from the Bible, and then they forget the Bible bit. Ultimately, this means that a person who is following Bible teaching is good. I put good in inverted commas because there's not one good but God in modern people's eyes. So if you're following Bible teachings, you're living to those things we've read, you'll be seen as good in modern eyes. And also, conversely, the opposite side of it is also a person who's trying to be good in modern eyes would find following the studies of Christ and trying to follow Christ and study him would not be a big step change for them if they're already trying to be good according to the ethics that we'll look at. So that's what I think. That's my hypothesis, and that's what I want to test tonight with you guys as we go through this. So modern ethics at a high level. What I did find, but never actually put in here because I only found it at the last minute, was the five British principles of being British or something like that that the people have to learn now if they want to be a citizen. And it's, and you go through and it seems like the ability to choose what you want to do with your life is one of them, which obviously we're allowed to do this if we wish, but that also fits in Bible teaching. We've got free will. Another one was, sorry I'm having to remember this, I did mean to put a nice big slide up here, but I didn't, was democracy. Obviously God let us choose how we govern ourselves. And the other ones fit quite nicely with the ones that I've got on this list here. So equal rights, gender, race and religion. In modern thinking, I'm purely thinking modern here, not take all our religious beliefs out of this for a moment. I think modern is the news tell you that no matter what gender, what race, what religion you are, you have equal rights within that. Excuse me. Not to hurt others, we'd all say that was, inside there, to care for each other, not to kill, and not to steal. So those are the high level modern ethics that fit inside what the government class as being British, in my in their opinion, is one of the five key things. They fit inside that to make that fulfilled. So as a quick nod of heads, do we agree that that is modern ethics in a nutshell? That is the high level thinking of being a good person. If you do that, you give everyone equal rights, you don't hurt people, you try and look after people, you don't kill them, you don't rob from them, you're classed as a good person, and you've got modern ethics. So when you're choosing your behaviour of how to conduct yourself in the workplace, in the home place, and the shops, bumping into a stranger, you quickly run through these. If I say this, do I convene any of these? If I do that, do I convene any of these? And that's how you conduct yourself. So that is, in a nutshell, how we govern our behaviours of right and wrong. So let's look and see if my hypothesis is correct, that these are quite borrowed from the Bible. So the first one is equal rights. So I've stuck them just here so we can keep reference what we're specifically looking at in those. So gender and race. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 then. Don't have to turn them up. All the passages are going to be on the screen tonight, but you're welcome to if you don't trust my copy and paste skills. I wouldn't. I've had bad examples of that before. But so gender and race. Let's read this one then. For as many as... Well, I'll read it off the screen. It's easier. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. I think that's it's quite categoric, isn't it? We're not neither bond nor free. So you're sort of talking about the whole hierarchy of in society. You're male nor female. So that covers off our gender. Jew nor Greek. You can extend that out to just any nationality, couldn't you, really? So that covers off race there. So inside there, I think, and I don't think it's a stretch too far, to say that the Bible says we're all equal, without a shadow of doubt. Yes, I know there's rules inside the Ecclesia that say you couldn't have a sister doing what I'm doing now, and things like that, but I don't think that has anything to do with women's rights inside the Ecclesia at all. I think that has more to do with men's weaknesses than women's inadequacies, in my opinion, but that's another subject entirely. But I don't think that that is to do with symbolising the what we're talking about this morning, for those of who is here, of the marriage of us to Christ in the kingdom. So I don't think that has anything to do with rights inside the Ecclesia and women's rights and the respect we should have for each other within the Ecclesia. I think it's very clear in this passage that male nor female, there's no difference in God's eyes. We're all equal, we're all the same. I think that's, no one's walked out, so I'm assuming most of you at least agree with the idea that what I'm presenting there, that gender and race are covered off by that passage, as we're equal. So I'll put them in green, because we've agreed that those are, because no one's walked out. If you disagree, you've got to walk out, and that's the rules. That gender and race, we're equal. So equal rights, gender and race, done. Right, religion then. This is slightly more challenging when you consider it, because it's a bit harder with religion, because we as a community, as Christadelphians, say there's one God and there's one way to worship him. Yes, there might be other Christian ways of worshiping that are correct. I'm not saying Christadelphians the only one. I don't necessarily believe that is, but I'm not saying all Christianity is right either, so bear with me on that one. But what I'm saying is there's one way to worship God, and that's what's listed in this Bible. So it gets a little bit more challenging to start saying the equal rights thing. But I put to you Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that passage is incredibly hard to execute, isn't it? But what that passage does say, if you read it with the equal rights and religion mindset in place, is these people who might have a differing religion to you might hate you for your religious beliefs. You have to love them. You have to be nice to them. You have to pray for them. It's hard to do, but if you're doing that for someone, and we have, and we also put in Matthew 22, verse 39, and a second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. You can't say that because you're this religion or you're that religion, I'm not going to treat you fairly, because that is very, very against that. You love your, if you love someone as much as you love yourself, you're not going to treat them unequally to yourself, are you? So it's equal rights. Whether they've got the same faith as us or not, it doesn't matter, does it? That doesn't mean for 1 minute that we should... that's not the passage. The next bullet point there is... That then means to me that we should treat all with different opinions on a religion equally. Their opinion's valid. We might believe their opinion is wrong because they're choosing to worship a different god or multiple gods in some religions' cases, or no god at all in some cases, but they are still equal in a humanistic level to ourselves. There is, however, a clear line of acceptance of God's kingdom. This is where this one slightly falls down, and this is what I'm saying, it makes it a bit harder. There's a clear line of to be in God's kingdom, of trying to be the best you can be and not sin and follow him. So there's no way you can be committing a sin in accordance to God's laws and say, well, you said I've got equal rights, so I'm allowed to be in the kingdom and be part of your community. No, that is very clearly said that you've got to follow these words. That's the only place where this whole equal rights thing falls down, in my opinion. But the idea of treating someone equally and letting them have their own opinions and come to their own conclusions, whether that's with you or without you, is completely up to them, and they have equal rights on that front. But it doesn't mean they're entitled to be in the kingdom, because that's God's choice of who's there, not ours, God's. So I think, like I say, it's a bit harder, so it's probably more of an amber than a green, working on the whole logic. But I think that covers off that we should treat people with other religious beliefs as equal to treat ourselves and others. We can't discriminate in keeping with God's laws, discriminate against someone because they've chosen to be a different faith to us for any reason, and still inconvenient God's laws, until it comes to acceptance into the community and also into the kingdom. So that aside, I think we've covered that one. We said that we'll treat them equally. So that says, first three equal, and there's the passages. I'll put this slide up as we go through so you can see them if you want to make notes and all. So the next one then is, we're going to do it together, which is don't hurt others and to care for others. So they sort of go hand in hand, don't they? They go together like glove and hand, really, don't they? If you're not hurting people, you're quite likely to be caring for them, aren't you? So let's go to Romans for this one. Romans. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. So, if evil were evil, an evil thing is doing something unkind, isn't it? Something against God's will. So, we've already read about the in Exodus about how we should treat each other. So, if you're evil with evil, evil is going against those, someone's going against that, you don't recompense that with the same sort of thing. You don't go, oh, you hit me, so I'll hit you back. You don't do that. So we're not hurting others. Let us therefore follow after things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So there we are, the idea of we're trying to make peace with all, aren't we? We're trying to make peace with each other and peace with everyone else. And we try to edify each other, so it's lift each other up, isn't it? So the idea of looking after each other, caring for each other, you're trying to lift each other up. So I think that's quite categoric, that the idea of not hurting each other in modern society is also in keeping with Bible teaching. So again, let's add that on the list. Got a bit of green, more green. So again, not killing and do not steal, not quite so close together, but they do fit quite nicely together, don't they? So we've already read it tonight, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. That's quite categoric, isn't it? We've also got thou shalt not steal. So we could end it there, but it's always nice to look a bit further, isn't it, sometimes? So let's go to Matthew 22, and you get, and a second, this is talking about let's go to Matthew 22, save me stammering my way through trying to explain the passage. Reading from 35. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto it, Thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. So that's the idea that someone came to Christ and asked, what's the most important thing? And they said, well, loving God. And the second most important thing is loving each other. And again, you wouldn't be committing those, you wouldn't steal from yourself, you wouldn't kill yourself, well, in normal circumstances. So you're not going to commit those things, are you? I think it's quite clear. So going back to our modern ethics high level, I think There are many more examples in that Exodus reading, isn't there, of things that we class as good, good behaviours. I know there's lots that we as Christadelphians and any religious Christian would see as important, which is the whole first half of it, of talking about worshipping God. But looking at the second half that we did, we come across quite a few, don't we? We come across, we looked at it, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness of against thy neighbour. So those, again, are more things that we'd class as good practices in modern society, wouldn't we? To making our life work, seeing as good people, and doing the correct things. And I don't think anyone would disagree that those are the same things that we see in society and we see them here in the Bible, don't we, written many years ago. So back to my hypothesis then. Well, back to this list here. So we've got all green now, and we've got more. We could go on, couldn't we, and look at a few more. So if we end up back at my hypothesis then, we look at, in my opinion then, modern ethics are borrowed from the Bible. We've taken the Bible, and I think this happened in like the 17th century or something like that, from what Alice and I could find. We took our Bible, we wrote our laws down, then we closed our Bible and went, these are our laws. And then we've worked with those laws and forgot more and more and more and more and more about this book, and we've closed it up and we've moved it away. Keep moving it away, keep moving it away. But ultimately, the laws that we class and the behaviours we class as humans as good behaviour have come from here. They originate from here. So anyone who is who's a follower of Bible teaching is good in the modern eye, isn't it? If you follow what's in here, which is the original source of our modern laws and our modern ethics, you are seen as a good person, aren't you? And also, anyone who is trying to be a good person would find following Christ suited them. Because if you're trying to be a good person and live those ethics that we looked at a minute ago, and live by those behaviour, those right and wrong choices that govern your behaviour, they're taking the next step and committing to a God, overruling it, and looking at, he actually wrote down the original source of those rules. You start thinking that it would suit you. It's not a massive change, is it, from where you are? If you're doing the things that are trying to do the things that are fitting in God's law, to accept that God wrote them, isn't a big step, is it? So the question I leave you with, and sorry it's short and sweet, but not always a bad thing, is it? Is, are we correct in that thinking? Are we correct in the thinking that our laws are borrowed, our modern laws in the world are borrowed from the Bible, and that someone who is being a good person in the world would suit being a Christian if they could accept God? I'll leave that up just in case you want to reference them. Thank you for listening.